darkness surrounding me began to disseminate, and I once again found myself in Grimora. I touched my jaw and gripped at my abdomen, making sure that I was really all there. My heart pounded as I relived the horrifying moment before death. "Holy shit," I muttered.
"You died too?"
I turned to see Aaron sitting on the mud in his white boxer shorts, rubbing at his neck. I nodded.
"Yeah, I watched it eat my fucking stomach, dude. How are you just sitting there so calmly? It ripped your head off."
"I had a pretty swift death, I guess. I mean, I only felt pain for a second or two at most."
"Why?" I asked him loudly.
"Why what?
Why did you guys program the world to have pain like that?"
Aaron leaned back and looked up to the sky.
"Have you ever eaten spicy food?"
"Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything?"
"Pain receptors. Without pain, there could be no spicy food."
"So you're telling me you guys wanted people to feel their organs getting chewed out because you wanted them to be able to eat spicy food?"
"Not me, Dr. Winston."
Aaron leaned back and smiled.
"What if I told you that your girlfriend is dead? Both in the game and in the outside world. How would you feel?"
I creased my brow.
"Why would you say that?"
"Pain," Aaron explained. "That feeling you'd experience is pain. The way that Dr. Winston puts it, without pain, you cannot feel. Without pain, normal becomes pain and pleasure becomes normal."
"What? Say that again."
"There was no way to turn pain off and keep people from feeling human. If pain was turned off, people suddenly didn't care. No pain games work fine when you're conscious on the other side of the game, because you're still feeling pain somewhere. But if you're only conscious in one world and have zero pain, then you become less human than an NPC."
"I guess that makes sense, but still..."
I shook my head and shuddered as I remembered the sound of razor-sharp teeth crunching into my bone.
"Besides," Aaron said as he picked himself off the ground and wiped a swath of mud off his shorts, "without pain, people would Leroy Jenkins their way into a high-level shit just for the hell of it."
"Which is kind of what we're doing now." I pushed myself to my feet and noticed that my elven bag of unburdening had made it with me, but all its contents were gone.
"Not for the hell of it," he reminded me.
Aaron lifted his finger and pointed to the spot where we died.
"I see our stuff over there. Let's move before more nasties show up."
I nodded and we jogged to where our gear was lying. "What happened to our bodies?" I asked as we started equipping our weapons and armor.
"The bodies of reborns stay in the world until they respawn. After that, they vanish, and all their stuff falls to the ground. Good thing a humanoid didn't kill us. They would have run off with whatever they could carry."
He looked up as he saw me stuffing potions and bandages back in my bag.
"That bag is a spirit item?"
"Yeah," I said. "I got it from the High Elves after a quest." He shook his head from side to side.
"Level 8 and already have a bound bag. You're a lucky bastard, you know that?"
I lifted my elven leather vest and the lower front of it was shredded. The durability was on its last couple points, and the amount of protection was almost cut in half.
"Ragged lightweight elven leather vest. Plus 12 armor. Durability, 2 of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight, 1.3 kilogram.
If I'm lucky, today isn't proving it. Aaron ran his hand around a large patch of tall grass.
"Looks like it ate my wolf cap along with my head."
"Oh, it definitely did. It definitely did." My barkskin buff was gone, and after putting on my poor excuse for a chest piece, I pulled up my stats to see what other damage had been done.
Gunner Long. Race, human. Level, 8. Progress, 0%. Title, none. Health, 145+. Mana, 120. Stamina, 120. Strength, 18+. Dexterity, 19. Intelligence, 18. Vitality, 13+. Wisdom, 13. Willpower, 13. Charisma, 10. AR rating, 32. Resists, 10% fire resistance, 15% water resistance. Traits, elven touch. Primary skills, first aid level 3, progress 0%. Sneak level 3, progress 0%. Inspect level 3, progress 0%. Tinkering level 1, progress 0%. Summon beast, mastered. Inscription level 1, progress 0%. Combat skills. Dodge level 3, progress 0%. Small blades level 2, progress 0%. Backstab level 1, progress 0%. Archery level 4, progress 0%. Block level 1, progress 0%. Swords level 4, progress 0%. Snipeshot level 2, progress 0%. Dirty fighting level 1, progress 0%. Magic skills, fire magic level 5, progress 0%.
Thank goodness I assigned my points before death, but I definitely lost a little progress in some stats. I remember being particularly close to leveling block, but now I was back to square one in that skill.
Stop fucking with your stats, dude. We've gotta move.
I closed my stats. He was right. I surveyed the area around us, and it mostly looked the same. There was a small area ahead of the runestone that we had cleared, but there were still monsters in every direction.
You have been invited to join Eren's party. Do you accept? Yes/no.
I accepted his invitation.
Run for it? Eren asked.
I shrugged. I guess we can give it a try. Eren stuck his knee out as if he were about to run a race.
All right, on the count of three.
I checked to make sure my things were tightly secure and got in a starting stance as well.
One, two, three.
Eren and I kicked off through the mud, but we only made it a few paces before I yelled at him to stop.
What is it?
He said, holding his hands out to the side.
The sorceress's loot is still here.
I kneeled and picked up a spellbook out of the cold, dead sorceress's hand. Every page had been burned to the point that they were unreadable. There were two more that were either burned or ruined by mud, but the last spellbook had two legible pages inside.
Ice Prism. Freeze and damage an enemy in a prism of ice for 3 seconds. Requires 24 intelligence. Water magic level 5. Destabilizing thoughts. Fill your target's mind with unsettling thoughts, causing damage over time for 3 seconds. Requires 16 intelligence. Dark magic level 3.
Too bad I couldn't understand them. The same spellbook also had a thin piece of folded parchment that fell out when I opened it. Inside of the parchment was the picture of a runestone with an unusual red symbol drawn on its face.
You've received schematic, runestone of minor fire damage. Adds additional on-hit fire damage. Requires 10 intelligence. Requires inscription level 1. Requires red inscription powder. Durability, 7 of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, rare. Weight, 0.1 kilogram.
I tossed the tattered spellbook and schematic in my bag.
This one has a magic ring, Eren said, pulling a gold band off one of the sorceress's fingers.
Hand it to me, and I'll identify it. Eren tossed me the ring.
You've received Invoker's Band. Durability, 9 of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, rare. Weight, 0.1 kilogram. Plus 5 intelligence.
Plus 5 intelligence, I said and tossed the band back to him. Nice find.
Keep it. I don't have any magic skills yet.
You sure? I asked as Eren handed me back the ring.
Yeah, dude. It should give you a little bit of a damage boost.
I tried slipping the ring onto my finger, but it felt like there was a magnetic force preventing it from going on.
You are limited to one magic ring on each hand. You are limited to one magic ring on each hand. You are limited to one magic ring on each hand.
Hmm, I thought. I guess it would be overpowered if I could slip as many stat-boosting rings on my fingers as I wanted. Here, I said as I pulled my ring of sturdiness off my finger and handed it to Eren. This one'll be useful to you. I'm at my ring limit. The plus 15 HP that I got from the ring would be missed, but I figured it would help keep Eren alive, and the plus 5 intelligence from the new ring would probably be more useful for taking out enemies with my fire magic.
Thanks, Eren said.
There was a low rumble that reverberated on the ground, and I could see a puddle of mud nearby shaking. Something big was moving close to us.
We should probably go, I suggested.
Eren nodded and got back in his sprinting position.
No stopping till we reach a safe clearing, all right?
I nodded.
One, two, three.
Eren and I ran as fast as we could for the tree, and within 10 seconds we were in range of another group of bloodthirsty swamp runners. They ran after us, but we had a very slight speed advantage, so while they didn't give up the chase right away, they couldn't close in on us either. I heard screeches, and as I looked behind us, I could see arms darting up from the ground, looking to grab onto something at the areas where we had stepped. "Don't slow down," I said. "Those arms are back." The fog grew thicker as we continued to run, and we ended up stumbling into a thick swarm of small buzzing mosquitoes. We swatted as we continued to run, assuming that we'd eventually clear the swamp, but the cloud of tiny insects seemed endless. They buzzed in my ears and clung to my arm, and the ones that made it onto my face and neck bit me, knocking down 1 HP with each bite. "Dude!" Aaron spat with heavy breath. His health bar was being depleted 1 HP at a time as well. "This is ridiculous." I held out my hand and cast Fire Curtain in an attempt to do anything, and a long wall of fire formed ahead of us. The insects that got caught in the curtain died instantly, and the ones that hadn't been caught began to disperse far away, trying to avoid the flames. "You have gained 3 XP. You 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 have gained 3 XP. "Run close to the fire," I yelled, and when we closed in on the flames, the mosquitoes that were latching onto us let go and buzzed away. I glanced at my stamina bar as we pulled out of the cloud of mosquitoes and fog, and it was already cut down by 1/3. We reached a small clearing, but far to the left I could see another group of swamp runner sorceresses, and far to the right was a massive frog that looked like it could eat either of us alive. "Rest," I said, and Aaron and I slowed. We stopped for a second to catch our breath, but I could hear the sound of the bloodthirsty swamp runner's feet pattering somewhere behind us. "Never mind," I rolled my eyes in frustration. "Let's go." We pushed on, and ahead of us I could see a large, long, muddy pond surrounded by alligators. A large fallen log lay stretched across the center of the pond, and on the left side there were more swamp runner sorceresses, and on the other side was tall grass and bamboo. We had no way of telling what lurked inside there. When we paused to assess the situation, I could hear the patter of the swamp runner still coming up behind us. "Name, Swamp Gator. Race, Animal, Level, 5. Health, 60. Mana, 0. Stamina, 40. Status, Unknown." "Over the log?" I suggested. "The gators are only level 5. Aaron nodded and reached for his spear. I grabbed my sword and stepped closer to the gators, letting off a fire blast to the gator closest to the log. It let out a growl and shook its head viciously, before it stopped moving and smoke rose out of its dead body. "You have gained 100 XP. The alligators nearby looked alarmed, turned around, and we immediately had 10 alligators or more charging at us. "Oh shit," Aaron said. I raised my hand and cast Fire Curtain in front of the charging gators, and 4 of them died, while another couple of them got scalded by the flames. The 2 fire curtains that I had cast and the fire blast put a huge dent in my mana, and I had roughly enough for another couple fire blasts. Aaron stepped forward and dove his spear into the tip of one of the gator's head, and I swung my sword, slicing open the tip of one of the gator's nose. Another gator lashed out and clenched onto my leg with amazing speed, and I yelled as I switched my attention, slamming the tip of my sword into its head. The gator died just as I looked up and saw Aaron dashing away from a corpse and going for his second kill. His spear's reach advantage made the gators a perfect target for him. "You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect." I slashed at the injured gator, killing it as well, when I heard movement coming from behind. I turned and saw the bloodthirsty swamp runners had already caught up to us. "Run!" I yelled. Aaron yanked his spear out of one of the gator's head, and when he saw the swamp runners, he bolted for the log. Aaron reached the log first, and I was right behind him. A few angry gators clanked their teeth behind us but didn't dare try climbing onto the log. It was thick, the log, but we both held out our hands as we crossed to keep balance, moving at roughly half our usual run speed. The swamp runners didn't seem to mind, though. They hopped on the log, using their spears to balance as they started to cross right behind us. On the other side of the pond were 3 more gators, and Aaron jumped off and immediately went in to attack. He drove his spear into one just as another clamped onto his leg. I fired a fire blast at the 3rd, and whipped my sword around for a deep thrust into the one that was biting down on Aaron. It released its grip and died. I looked behind us, and the swamp runners were two-thirds of the way down the log. "Keep running," I yelled, and grabbed at Aaron's arm. Aaron took a step forward and stumbled to the ground, grabbing his leg. "I can't," he said breathlessly. "Suck it up. I'll bandage you when we're in a safe spot." "No, I can't," he said again. "It's not the wound. I'm out of stamina." I glanced up at our stat bars and saw that Aaron's stamina was down to zero, and I barely had 20 points left. With just a little bit of stamina remaining and my mana running low, there was little chance we were going to survive the swamp runner's attacks.
"You can go. Save yourself," Aaron groaned. "I'll try to get back."
I could have kept running, hoping to find a hiding spot with my last bit of stamina. Maybe I could have looted Aaron's body and met him back at the runestone. I certainly didn't want to experience the pain of death again. That's what I would have done if I had been playing any other game. Run. I had always been a solo player before Eden's Gate, and I didn't like being held down by other players' weaknesses. But something inside me couldn't just leave him there without at least trying to save him. Maybe it was the fact that I knew the pain that he would go through in a death, or maybe it was the fact that Jax and Adili had been there for me when I needed them. Hell, even Aaron jumped in and risked his life to save me at the orc camp. Maybe it was the fact that they weren't just other players. They were my friends. It wasn't something that I was used to saying about other people, but yeah, Aaron was my friend. Jax and Adili were my friends. It didn't feel right to leave my friend to die alone. I lifted my sword, gripped it with both hands, and strafed in front of Aaron as the swamp runner stepped off the log and began to line up in front of us. I counted five on the ground, and many more pattering their webby feet on the log as they raced to join them.
"You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect."
My health was at 70%. One of the swamp runners smiled, as best as it could with its fishy face, and hissed as all five of the ones on the ground rushed toward us. I fired off a fire blast, knocking one of them back, and made note that while I didn't have enough mana to fire another, with my mana regenning, I'd have enough for one more in a few seconds. It was all futile, but I was going to take down as many of them as I could before we died. It would give us a better chance of recovering our loot after death. One of the swamp runners thrust its spear at me and I dodged, right before an arrow struck it in the side of the head, killing it immediately. A whiz of arrows filled the air, and another struck one of the monsters that was about to hop on Aaron. Three at a time, arrows flew in the sky, connecting with the bodies of the swamp runners and alligators nearby. A thick bolt flew into another.
"Aye, Gunnar, matey."
A hard, raspy voice rang out, and through the thick fog, I saw a tangled red beard appear.
Kronos?
The stout dwarf was sitting on top of a plump ram with long horns and a matted white pelt. In his hand was an oversized wooden crossbow, and covering his body was thick, steel plate armor. Right behind him was Jax, sitting on top of Fenris, lobbing off arrows three at a time from his bow. Aaron was starting to get up when Kronos raised his crossbow and pointed it at me.
"Stand away, matey. There's an orc behind ye."
"No, he's not an..."
Kronos' bolt sped past me and slammed into Aaron's skull with a thud. Aaron's eyes rolled into the back of his head and his body flopped to the mud as his health fell to zero.
"He's not an orc," I muttered.
Kronos swung his crossbow around, smacking a swamp runner across the face, then loaded up another bolt and killed it at point-blank range. He hopped off his ram and raised a glowing hand towards me, before fastening his crossbow and reaching for the sword he had strapped to his back. It looked like the same sword I had recovered from Nambunga's cave. White energy surrounded me, and my health immediately jumped to 100%. He swung his sword effortlessly at another swamp runner, barely paying any attention to it as he continued moving towards me. His eyes focused on the furry body behind me.
"Not an orc?" he asked. "Then why the hell is he dressed like that?"
"It's a long story."
More swamp runners continued crossing the log, and Jax fired an endless stream of arrows, knocking most off the log and into the pond before they could touch down. I reached my hand out and shot a fire blast into the face of one of the swamp runners that was about to catch Kronos in the back. Kronos whipped around and severed its head as it screamed from the burns. Jax lowered his bow and hopped off Fenris as the chaos subsided.
"That's all of them," he said.
"What are you guys doing here?" I asked.
"You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect."
I flinched and grabbed at my leg.
"Let's have a look, why don't we?"
Kronos kneeled and placed a hand over my alligator bite. A white pulse exited his hand, and my bleeding icon went away.
"I ran into Adili on the way to have a drink at the inn in Linden," Jax explained. "She told me about your plan to find a mage to transport you to Grimora. A bit crazy to come here at your level."
"And when I got word from Jax here that there might be a portal to Grimora, I jumped on the opportunity," Kronos added. "My town, Stonefort, is just a couple zones away. The portal saved me a good week or more of traveling across the Serpent Sea."
Jax continued. "I knew that Enos was probably the only guy in Linden who could cast a portal, and his lazy ass wouldn't go too far from town to place it. After Kronos and I had a drink, it only took us a few minutes of scouring the outskirts before we found your portal. Fenris caught your scent as soon as we stepped through."
"So you're going to Stonefort too?" I asked.
"No, but I'd figured that I'd make sure Kronos made it to the edge of Grimora safely."
"Oh, mate,"
Kronos said with a laugh.
"You know I can handle me own just fine."
Jax smiled. "I guess I wanted to see if a low-level reborn could survive Grimora as well. Or maybe I still have a soft spot for you. I'm not sure." His tone was kinder than the last time I saw him. Perhaps he had forgiven me about the sword incident.
"Maybe we should have let him die," Kronos said. "I'd like to see a reborn come back to life."
"Aaron is a reborn also," I said. "You'll see him when he appears at the runestone we ran from in about 2 hours.
"Another reborn," Kronos cried. "And 2 hours? Eesh."
There was a loud bubbling sound that came from the pond that we had crossed, and we all turned to see what was happening. Another gurgle filled the air, and then another, right before a large, messy mash of green poked its head out of the water. It came up so that its eyes were visible first, and paused a moment before bringing its full torso out of the water. It was huge, a good 10 feet tall, I imagined, and while it had a torso, arms, and legs like a human, it was completely covered in tangled seaweed, grass, and vines. It was hunched over with one of its arms visibly longer than the other, and its head almost looked like it was wearing a hood with the amount of vegetation that was hanging down from it.
"You kill in my home?"
Its sloppy, gurgled voice sputtered, and it slowly started trudging its way out of the pond.
"Stand back, Fenris," Jax shouted, and the wolf stepped several paces away.
Jax slowly backed up as well, holding a tight grip on his bow.
"Ho ho ho ho," Kronos cooed. "Now I really get to put me brother's sword to use."
He nodded towards his ram, and it turned and ran off into the distance as he lifted his sword and smiled.
"I think we might need your help with this one, young gunner."
"You have been invited to join Kronos' party. Do you accept? Yes/no.
I willed myself to join Kronos' party, and both his and Jack's health bars appeared. Kronos raised his sword in the air with both hands and touched the hilt against his head. A blast of bright light flashed out, and I suddenly felt more powerful. He touched his hand against the sword again, and another blast of light shot out. An icon of an orange arrow pointing upwards, and another of a white shield with a cross on it appeared below my stat bars.
"Divine Vigor, your stamina regenerates 100% faster. Spell duration, 3 minutes. Source, Kronos. Divine Resistance, you gain 50% resistance against all non-divine magical spells. Spell duration, 3 minutes. Source, Kronos."
The monster swung its long, viney arm at Kronos just as he was finishing casting his spells, and the dwarf dropped to a prone position just in time to avoid the blow. Jack started shooting arrows as fast as he could, but when they landed they seemed to have little effect, other than irritating the giant green thing.
Use your magic, Gunner. He's probably weak to fire.
I launched a fire blast at the monster's face as it pounded its fists down in a hammer motion, trying its best to smash a dodging Kronos below. Kronos rolled out of the way, and the monster reared back and let out a gurgling roar when my fire connected.
More of that!
Kronos shouted, and dashed for one of the monster's legs, hacking his sword against its tree-like calves. I tried to inspect the monster and was surprised when I got the results.
Name, Swamp Lord. Race, Monster. Level, 25. Health, 400. Mana, 190. Stamina, 200. Status, Aggressive.
I wasn't sure if I had a lucky dice roll or maybe I was able to see the monster stats, because I was in a group with two obviously higher levels than me. But at level 25, the Swamp Lord was the highest level creature I had seen, or at least had been able to identify. Jack stopped lobbing arrows at the monster's body and reached into his pouch, pulling out a round vial of black liquid. He reached his arm back and tossed the vial at the monster like a soldier launching a grenade, and when it connected with the monster's body, it burst with a loud explosion, sending bits of seaweed, vines, and other organic matter flying in every direction. I shot another fire blast at its face right after Jack's. The monster grasped frantically at the fire on its face and the deep black crater that was left in its chest from Jax's potion and roared,
"Arrgh!"
The green from its longer arm snaked forward, forming a large viney hammer in front of it, and the Swamp Lord lifted it high in the air and pounded it hard on the ground. The rumble of the blow knocked all three of us off our feet, and I took 10% damage to my health from the fall. The Swamp Lord swung its hammer again, this time connecting with the fallen Kronos, who was still struggling back to his feet.
"Kronos!" Jax yelled.
I glanced at Kronos's health bar and could see that he only had 50% of his health taken from the blow, but another hit like that would probably kill him. I shot another fire blast at the monster as Kronos pulled himself out of the impression made by the Swamp Lord's hammer.
"You have gained 1 point of wisdom."
"Oh, me noggin's ringin',"
Kronos said as he scurried away. He raised his palm upwards, and a ball of light surrounded him. He was suddenly back to 80% health. The dwarf had some amazing healing powers. I switched to my bow and started launching arrows to avoid draining my mana dry, and the Swamp Lord turned to me. Its eyes glowed, and I lost my footing as a large circle of earth below me turned to soft quicksand-like mud.
"What the hell?"
I screamed and grasped for anything, throwing my bow to the hard earth nearby to avoid it sinking in the mud. Jax looked in my direction and scrambled to the edge of the muddy circle I was sinking in and reached out a hand.
"Try to swim here, fast!"
"All right, mates,"
Kronos spat.
"Looks like I need to end this before it gets too ugly."
"Yeah,"
Jax yelled sarcastically as he inched forward trying to get close enough to grab me without falling in himself.
"I think that's a good idea."
I was waist deep in mud when Kronos lifted his sword and cast something. Light burst out of his blade, and the steel continued to glow brightly as he jumped forward, swinging hard at the Swamp Lord's leg, cutting through it like a knife cutting through butter. The Swamp Lord howled and fell on its stump, swinging an arm in Kronos's direction. The dwarf held up his sword to block, and when the monster's arm made contact, the sword sliced through the limb, leaving it attached, but dangling listlessly by a couple vines. Jax managed to grab my hand and pulled me over to solid ground, where I began to climb my way out of the sinking mud. I hadn't even made it all the way out before I turned and angrily sent another fire blast hurtling at the Swamp Lord's face.
"Now!"
Jax yelled and turned to Fenris. The wolf sprinted forward and jumped up, grabbing the monster's partially severed arm with its teeth. It pulled back and darted its head, trying to topple the monster to the ground. The monster gurgled through its scorched lips and put its remaining arm down on the ground to support itself from falling over completely. Kronos ran to the arm immediately, jumped, and landed a quick foot on the monster's bent elbow. He jumped high again, arching his sword in a downwards, whirling motion as he fell, cutting through half of the swamp lord's head in the process. The massive body tumbled to the ground with a thud.
You have gained 1,350 XP.
Well, that was fun,
Kronos said with a smile. The glow in his sword faded away, and he returned it to his back. Fenris strolled up to the body and sniffed curiously. He raised his head back and barked a couple of times.
Found something, boy? Jax asked.
He walked up to where Fenris was sniffing and kneeled down.
Oh, looks like this swamp baddie was packing some goodies.
Jax lifted a slimy slab of green from the side of the monster and tugged at something inside until a wet white pouch fell out of it.
Damn, he said as he opened it to inspect the contents. 500 gold, 2 inscription powders, a blank runestone, a few rare herbs, a mana potion, and a pair of magic plate gloves.
Jax handed Kronos 125 gold and 250 to me.
You should give half of it to your friend. A bit of an apology for his death.
I nodded. Are you guys scribes? If not, I could use the runestone and inscription powders.
What level are you? Jax asked.
Just level 1, but I plan on training it.
Jax rolled his eyes, then handed the 2 powders and the runestone.
You've received blank runestone, durability 10 of 10, quality average, rarity rare, weight 0.1 kilogram, a mysterious stone with lots of potential. You've received red inscription powder, durability 5 of 5, quality average, rarity uncommon, weight 0.1 kilograms, used for inscription. You've received green inscription powder, durability 5 of 5, quality average, rarity uncommon, weight 0.1 kilogram, used for inscription.
There's only one of us wearing heavy armor,
Kronos tutted. I can identify the gloves for you, I said.
Oh, you have a wand on you, do ya?
Kronos asked. No, I can identify by touch.
What now? Only high elves can do that.
A gift from the queen, Jax explained as he handed me the gloves.
You've received indestructible pillager's gauntlets, plus 50 armor, durability 1,000 of 1,000. Quality, exceptional. Rarity, legendary. Weight, 0.3 kilogram. Plus 5 strength. Plus 20% chance to critical hit. Plus 50% critical damage.
I read the stats off to Kronos, and his eyes lit up like a Christmas tree.
Ho ho ho! I've hit the jackpot today!
I handed him the gauntlets, and he couldn't get his old ones off fast enough. He put them on his hands and smiled.
They will go well with my set. The dwarves in Stonefort will be green with envy.
Jax grinned. I'll keep the herbs and the potion. I took the chance to inspect Kronos and Jax. I could tell that they were much higher level than me, especially with how easily they handled the level 25 monster.
Kronos Rockfoot, race, dwarf, level 23, title, adventurer. Health, 200, mana, 170, stamina, 160. Strength, 37, dexterity, 22. Intelligence, 26. Vitality, 33. Wisdom, 17. Willpower, 45. Charisma, 16. Jax Horn, race, human, level, 19. Title, forester. Health, 170. Mana, 110. Stamina, 190. Strength, 23. Dexterity, 29. Intelligence, 20. Vitality, 25. Wisdom, 10. Willpower, 27. Charisma, 25.
We were headed for a dungeon inside the Weeping Willow. If you guys have time, it would be a big help if you helped us crawl through it. I couldn't believe I was saying that, even when I was saying it. I had never been the type to admit when I needed help with something. I was independent and liked handling things on my own. But the longer I spent inside of Eden's Gate, the more I realized why Rachel thought it was so important that I have friends. Kronos glanced up to the sky.
Oh, sorry, mate. There's not much light left in the sky, and the nasty bits like to lurk around here late at night. I'll need to get out of Grimora before that happens.
Jax? I asked. Jax turned to his companion, and Kronos said,
Up to you, my friend. I'll have no problem making it out of Grimora on my own.
Jax huffed. How much time on your portal? Enos said it would expire in 24 hours, so tomorrow morning. All right.
I'll go check it out with you, but I'll only go as far as it's safe. If things get too sticky, you're on your own. Jax looked up and surveyed our surroundings. Kronos, if you have time before you leave, might you help us clear a path from the runestone to the tree? Kronos smirked and reached for his sword again.
I guess I have a wee bit of time for some more smashing.
Chapter 26, Month 1, Day 6, Year 1.
Thank you, my friend, Jack said when we made it back to the runestone, reaching a hand out towards Kronos.
Any time, matey,
Kronos replied, shaking it vigorously. We must have killed 50 or so more monsters to clear a path to the dungeon, but Kronos and Jax did most of the work, dispatching the good majority of them in a single swipe or arrow to the head. Luck was on our side, as we didn't run into any more higher-level creeps like the Swamp Lord, or whatever the thing was that had killed Aaron and me. I managed to gain another level from all the XP, 10 HP, and finally made it to level 2 in block. Jax and Kronos bagged most of the loot to sell off, but I scavenged another 100 gold and a couple of health potions. Through it all, my armor had taken a beating.
I'm not an orc! I'm not an orc! I'm not an orc!
I turned to see a sparkly, translucent image of Aaron curled up in a fetal position, eyes closed, gradually filling out into his body.
They really are reborns,
Kronos muttered as he watched Aaron come into view. Both he and Jax looked mesmerized. Aaron opened his eyes and screamed as soon as he saw Kronos.
Don't kill me, please! I swear I'm not an orc!
It's okay, man, I said. They're not going to kill you. Aaron scurried up to his feet and darted his eyes around.
We've lost a lot of time. We've got to make another run for the dungeon.
Jax tossed a large sack at Aaron's feet. All your gear is inside. They helped clear a path to the tree. We can make it there without any issues now. I handed Aaron 125 gold. And here's your share from some sort of boss monster we killed.
Use it to buy yourself some decent people clothes when you're back in town,
Kronos cried. Jax and I both started laughing. Aaron scratched his head and gave an embarrassed smile.
I will, and thank you for the help.
And better yet, Jax and Fenris are coming with us, I added. Aaron looked back and forth from the dwarf to the hunter, not sure who was who. I introduced the three of them and gave Aaron a 15-second history of how I met Jax and Kronos, before Kronos indicated that he needed to leave. He closed his eyes and pounded both of his fists to the ground, summoning his ram. I came across a divine spell in a spellbook before you guys showed up, I said.
Oh, what spell?
Kronos asked. Divine Sight.
Oh, that's a rare spell, but I'm afraid I already know that one.
Actually, I was hoping you could teach me divine magic before you leave. Kronos chuckled.
Well, you're lucky that I just hit the minimum level to teach someone divine. I suppose it wouldn't hurt to try. Come over here, young Gunner.
I walked over to Kronos and had to kneel so that my head was in reaching distance. He put his thick, stubby palm over me and cleared his throat.
How does the saying go? Oh, yeah. With my divinity, I release your divinity. Become one with the divine.
There was a click inside of me, and it felt like energy was being released in my body. It was a bit different than when I learned fire magic, but it was a power surge nonetheless.
Advancement, you have learned the skill divine magic. Now you can literally count your blessings. Divine magic is linked to the base stat, intelligence. Increase your intelligence to increase your ability to perform divine magic.
Thank you, I said.
Hey, can I get some of that too? Aaron asked. I wouldn't mind learning some magic.
You have a divine spell to learn also?
Kronos asked.
No, not yet, but I might as well open up the branch for when I do. Divine would be the perfect fit for me.
Without a scroll or spell, I don't see any
Hey, dude. You put a crossbow bolt in my forehead. It would be a nice way for me to forget the little accident.
Kronos snarled and squeezed his fist,
but then his face softened.
All right, come over here then, and sorry for the thunk into your head.
Eren kneeled and Kronos repeated the same process on him, releasing his divine magic abilities. After that, we all shook Kronos's hand and he trotted off on his ram. I pulled up my stats, and since I had made so much progress in my swords and archery leveling, I decided to throw my unused LP into dodge. I dropped 1 AP into intelligence for a little extra magic damage, 1 in vitality for durability, and 1 into dexterity to help round out my archery and sword fighting skills.
Gunner Long, race, human, level, 9, progress, 20%, title, none, health, 140, mana, 120, stamina, 120, strength, 18+, dexterity, 20, intelligence, 24+, vitality, 14+, wisdom, 14, willpower, 13, charisma, 10, AR rating, 27, resists, 10% fire resistance, 15% water resistance. Traits, Elven Touch. Primary Skills, First Aid Level 3, Progress 0%. Sneak Level 3, Progress 10%. Inspect Level 3, Progress 0%. Tinkering Level 1, Progress 0%. Summon Beast, Mastered. Inscription Level 1, Progress 0%. Combat Skills, Dodge Level 4, Progress 0%. Small Blades Level 2, Progress 0%. Backstab Level 1, Progress 0%. Archery Level 4, Progress 60%. Block Level 2, Progress 5%. Swords Level 4, Progress 75%. Snipeshot Level 2, Progress 0%. Dirty Fighting Level 1, Progress 0%. Magic Skills, Fire Magic Level 5, Progress 75%. Divine Magic Level 1, Progress 0%.
There was a loud reptilian growl somewhere in the distance. We've got to move fast. We're almost out of light, Jack said. Eren pulled on the last bit of his armor, and we all jogged towards the weeping willow in the center of the swamp. Just approaching the tree was foreboding. Though it was 3 or 4 stories tall, its large branches stretched out in every direction, and its stringy flora hung so low that it touched the ground in some places. In a way, it gave a feeling like it was alive. And I don't mean the way that plants are alive, but more like it could sense our presence and was going to rise out of the ground and attack at any second. Given the kind of creatures I had already encountered in the swamp, I wouldn't have been surprised. At the base of its massive trunk, a rusty metal door had been built in its side, and Eren wasted no time yanking on the handle as soon as we were upon it. A cool, musty breeze shot out as soon as he did. Inside the door, I could see large steps gradually leading down in a spiral pattern, but beyond that was pitch black. It would be a tight squeeze for Fenris to fit inside, but he'd probably be able to make it. I pulled out the tattered spellbook with the Divine Sight spell inside, and when I flipped to the page, the words practically flew off the paper when I started to read.
Advancement, you have learned the spell Divine Sight.
I attempted to cast the spell on myself first, and when I raised my palm and closed my eyes, a cool, almost shocking energy jumped out of me. It wasn't nearly the same warm, almost violent feeling that I got when I performed fire magic. All around me, everything became crystal clear, and when I looked down the stairs that led to the dungeon, it was like I was staring at a well-lit room. 1/4 of my mana was eaten by the spell, and an icon of a bright yellow eye appeared below my stat bars.
Divine Sight, your eyes can see through the darkest of darks, and you have immunity to blinding spells and attacks. Duration, 20 minutes.
I turned and tried to cast the spell on Jax, and then again on Eren. Light circled their eyes for a moment, then faded, and they both confirmed that they could see the same as me.
I'll go first. There's no high-level monsters in here, so it should be easy from here on out.
Jax and I nodded, and Eren started leading us down the stairs. I was behind him, followed by Jax, and lastly, Fenris. The stairs looped again and again, leading us further and further underground. After the 10th circle, Fenris barked a few times.
What is it, buddy? Jax asked.
He barked a couple more times.
Fenris says he senses danger ahead, Jax explained. You sure there's nothing but low levels in here?
Wait, I said to Jax. He told you that there's danger ahead? As in, the wolf can talk to you?
I thought you knew, Jax replied, creasing his brow.
After you're bonded to a pet for long enough, you can understand each other's speech more than simple gestures.
Wow. He must have picked up on the rats and snakes that are down in this area,
Aaron said, not impressed by the human-to-animal speech, apparently. When we were only a few spirals away from reaching the floor, we could see Aaron was wrong. Etched across the walls and sticking to the lower spirals were spider webs. Some of them were free of inhabitants, but many of them had nasty-looking black spiders, with pointy legs the size of crowbars and bodies the size of basketballs, red stripes down the center of their backs.
Cave Weaver, race, insect, level 4, health 25, mana 0, stamina 25, status unknown.
At the bottom of the cave were a few even bigger spiders, with abdomens the size of beach balls and legs twice the size as the ones hanging on the sides. The larger ones each stood guard over a cluster of fat, cream-colored eggs.
Name, Cave Spinner, race, insect, level 9, health 100, mana 20, stamina 150, status unknown.
Did I mention that I hate spiders? When I was back on Earth, any encounter with a spider generally resulted in the War of Worlds and near panic. If there wasn't anything around that I could spray it with from a distance, then I'd resort to throwing any inanimate object at it until I killed it, or it at least got far, far away from my personal space. And that was for spiders the size of pennies. These things were monsters.
What the hell? Aaron said. These all weren't here before.
One must have wandered in and bred, Jack said. My heart was racing as we passed the weavers. Occasionally, I would see one make a subtle adjustment to their legs, but none of them attacked. I took another step, and the side of my face connected with a sticky web that I hadn't seen, probably because my eyes were glued to the spiders surrounding us.
Fuck! I spat and lashed out, slapping wildly at my own face. Fuck, I can't do this!
I turned and pushed past Jax, trying to go back up the stairs and distance myself from the spiders as much as possible.
Hey, wait! Aaron shouted.
Nope. I can do monsters, but I can't do spiders. A virtual game, sure, but this shit is too real. As I tried to push past Fenris, whose body was taking up pretty much the entire step he was standing on, I tried hugging the very edge of the steps, cautious to avoid the spider webs on the other side. That's when I accidentally stepped on Fenris's tail, which caused him to yelp low and pull his tail away, the force causing me to slip and fall backwards and down to the floor below. I screamed as I fell back, my life flashing before my eyes as I imagined getting devoured by my greatest fear, landing on a soft bundle of eggs on the floor below. My head jolted back in the fall, and my health dropped by 20%.
Gunner! Aaron yelled.
My eyes were wide with fear as the cave spinner protecting the eggs jumped on me immediately, and the other two nearby let out a high-pitched screech. I held my hands up, pushing away as the spider snapped at me with nasty, wet fangs, and my stomach turned at its beady arachnid eyes. I shot an immediate fire blast right between those eyes. The blast knocked the spider away, and I reflexively willed a fire curtain in a circle around me. I wasn't even sure if I could cast a curtain in a circle, but it damn sure worked, and the spiders on the floor continued screeching as they were blocked from accessing their prey. Me. I looked up and saw the spider's screams had apparently awakened the weavers, and Jax was shooting arrows at spiders that were making their way off their webs and towards them. Aaron was driving his spear into anything that came near, while Fenris was swatting them away with his paw. I stood there in the middle of my fire on the edge of a panic attack. I wanted to crawl into a hole. Maggots were nasty, sure. Skeletons, goblins, swamp monsters, and orcs were dangerous, sure. But spiders were just something else entirely. I was trapped in a fucking nightmare. Jax glanced down at me.
Don't just stand there, Gunner, he said as he launched another arrow. We've got to kill these things.
I closed my eyes and swallowed hard as I tried to calm myself.
Stay calm, I said to myself. Stay calm.
My fire curtain started to fade. And the moment I could see the eyes of another cave spinner, I immediately cast another fire curtain around me.
The fuck are you doing? Aaron yelled. Blow your mana killing them, not on hiding.
Fenris, go! Jax yelled, and in the corner of my eyes, I saw Fenris leap onto the floor and could hear the screech of spiders and the crunching sound of Fenris's jaws clamping into something crispy. Jax pulled out his sword and ran down the last couple of spiral stairs as my second fire curtain began to fade. He dove his sword into one of the spinners, and Fenris jumped onto another, making short order of the last of the eight-legged creatures on the floor. Aaron dove his spear into a final weaver, and then ran down to where the rest of us were.
"What the hell was that?" Aaron asked.
I breathed heavily and tried to stop my hands from trembling.
"I'm sorry, I just can't stand spiders. Something about them triggers me."
"Something about them is going to get us all eaten if you keep pulling stunts like that," Aaron barked.
Off to the side, I could see Fenris lapping up the innards of one of the cave spinners, and Jax was using his sword to slash patches of thick spiderwebs that were holding down the eggs, stuffing it in his bag.
"This is amazing," Jax said. "Spider silk is hard to find. I need it for at least 3 recipes. If I had only brought some empty vials so I could collect some venom as well."
It was hard for me to understand how spiders had such a profound effect on me, but didn't seem to bother Jax and Aaron at all. I pushed myself to my feet as I started to get my bearings. "Rats and snakes?" I asked. Aaron shrugged.
"Eden's Gate changes organically. A level of a zone or even a whole dungeon can be taken over by a totally different group of creatures as they move around. I'm just surprised that this one changed so soon."
Aaron turned to one of the cave spinner carcasses.
"Judging by how big these guys are, they must have eaten most of the low-level creatures that were inside."
"All right. Well, how far till we reach your hidden portal?"
"If I remember right, this dungeon goes on for 5 levels, but the portal is at the end of level 3.
"Let's hurry," I said. "I want to get out of here as soon as possible." Jax threw another patch of spider silk in his bag and stood up. "Ready." The circular room that we were standing in had only one path forward, and we set forth down the hallway. The walls throughout the dungeon were a dark gray of uneven stones without markings, and in the hallway there were several sealed tombstones set in crevices near the floor. Jax tried to push a couple of them open, but they were sealed, by magic or something else. Thankfully, there was only one other spider that was in the hallway, a cave weaver, which Jax dispatched from afar with a snipe shot. But when we got close to the next chamber, Fenris started barking again.
"More up ahead," Jax said. "Be alert."
Jax took the lead, and waving his blade in front of him, cut away random spider webs that were blocking our path. And once we were at the arch of the next chamber, he hugged his body against each side of the wall, trying to get as much of a survey of what was inside as possible.
"Looks like there's cave weavers covering the walls nearest to us, and there's a single cave spinner sitting inside right in the center of the room."
"Oh, fuck," I said. I thought I wasn't going to panic anymore, but my fear of spiders was uncontrollable.
"Look," Jack said. "The cave weavers didn't attack until you fell on the nest of eggs and upset the spinners. And though the bigger ones seem aggressive, I don't think they'll attack until we're in a certain proximity to the eggs. If you can hold your shit together, we might be able to walk by these guys without a fight."
"I don't know," I said. "Maybe we should just kill them."
"Listen to Jax," Aaron said. "It'll save us a lot of time if we can avoid a fight with another group of spiders."
I gritted my teeth and swallowed.
"All right, I'll try."
"Keep your guard up and don't attack, Fenris," Jack said to the wolf. Fenris reared his head back, which I assume meant that he understood. Jax and Fenris stepped slowly into the chamber, followed by Aaron. I timidly brought up the rear, following along as our group hugged the cave wall, walking within inches of the cave weavers and their webs. Thick cobwebs formed ropes on the floor and led to the center of the circular room where a cave spinner sat, guarding a batch of eggs like the ones we saw in the first room. Right behind the eggs and the cave spinner was a large hole where the cobwebs fell and disappeared to wherever the hole led, I imagine to the second level of the dungeon. The cave spinner turned its body and licked its fangs as we moved across the room, looking like at any moment it was going to pounce. It didn't leave its eggs, however, as we continued to circle along the outer edge, closer and closer to the other hemisphere of the room where there were no spiders or webs. My brow was sweating as a cave weaver lifted its legs and rubbed them together right beside my face. The sound of its bristly limbs felt like nails across a chalkboard, and I was certain that if I had been even a little older than I was, I would have needed an adult diaper to keep myself from losing control.
"Almost there," Aaron whispered calmly. "Keep it together, man."
Jax reached the bare portion of the stone floor first, and when Fenris stepped off of the webbing, he lifted his legs and started to shake them individually, as if he were getting an invisible icky off his paws. I practically darted to the other side of the room when there were just a few steps left, and I bent over and put my hands on my knees as if I had just run a marathon. A loud female laugh echoed from below us and bounced off the walls, causing the webs that the weavers were hanging on to shake. All three of us jumped at the foreboding sound, and Jax readied his sword as if he were about to fight. The cave spinner guarding the eggs reared on its hind legs, then scurried down the hole in the center of the room at a frightening speed.
"What the hell was that?" I asked.
"I don't know," Aaron said. "But there's definitely something else lurking in here."
"We'll find out soon enough. Let's move," Jax said. There was a small hallway in front of us, which led to another room, thankfully free of any cobwebs or spiders. As we walked further down the hall, I could see that the room was virtually empty, save for a small hole just slightly bigger than a human, and behind the hole was a half-human, half-fish skeleton that appeared to have once been some variation of a swamp runner. In its hand was a long spear with a sparkling tip, and draped on its skull was a ringmail coif. Off to its side was a sparkling red gem, a dusty scroll, and a small mess of coins. Feeling comfortable that we were further away from the spiders, I stepped into the room and started for the coins. There was a click noise that sounded when my foot landed on a loose stone, and I felt it sink a little under my foot. Two darts shot out from each side of the room, one landing in my shoulder and the other landing in my neck, wiping out 30% of my health.
"You have been poisoned and require medical attention. Poison is a weakening and damage over time effect."
"Ow!"
I yanked the tiny darts out of my skin and dropped them to the floor.
"Damn it," Jax grunted. "I haven't been in a dungeon for a while, forgetting the basics."
Jax placed his hand on the floor and scanned the room while I pulled out my cure potion and guzzled it. The poison alert went away and I suffered no further damage.
"I don't see any other traps," Jax said.
"Thanks," I muttered. I grabbed the skeleton's gear first.
"You've received a Swamp Defender's Spear. 10 to 15 attack damage. Durability, 7 of 10. Quality, great. Rarity, rare. Weight, 2.1 kilograms, plus 3 dexterity. You've received Rusty Chainmail Coif, plus 6 armor, durability 4 of 10, quality, poor, rarity, common, weight, 0.9 kilogram, price, 15 gold.
I read the stats off and handed them to Aaron. "I think you'll want these."
"Oh yeah," he cooed. "One step closer to not looking like an orc."
He slid the coif on his head and dropped his old spear. He tested the new spear by twirling it and thrusting it forward a few times. I counted 30 gold on the ground, which I split three ways between us.
"You've received Ruby. Durability, 100 of 100. Quality, exceptional. Rarity, common. Weight, 0.1 kilogram. You've received a scroll, Boiling Blood 1. Your inner flame boils your blood, increasing your movement, attack speed, and physical attack damage by 35% for 15 seconds. Your willpower is increased by 200% during this time. Can only be activated when you're at 50% health or less. Requires 20 intelligence. Fire magic level 6. Durability, 7 of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, epic. Weight, 0.1 kilogram.
I tossed the ruby to Jax and read the details of the scroll to both of my party members.
"Epic find, dude," Aaron said as I bagged the scroll.
My fire magic was only at 80% progress in level 5. So I couldn't use the item yet, but I was really looking forward to putting it to the test. Jax leaned over to the hole in the ground and indicated a metal ladder that led down.
"Well, Fenris isn't going to fit down this," he said.
He walked over to his wolf and kneeled, grabbing his head and rubbing violently while the wolf licked all over his face.
We'll see each other again soon, buddy. Go get some rest.
The wolf howled and dashed back towards the room of the spiders, disappearing before he aggravated anything. I kicked the humanoid skeleton over and its bones toppled to the ground. Let's hope whatever got this guy doesn't offer us the same fate.